Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 31st, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump threatens Mexico with tariffs over illegal immigration.
Risk assets slide, havens gain, and Treasury yields hit a 20-month low.
Futures point to the worst week for U.S. stocks since December as auto shares lead declines.
North Korea is said to have executed its former top nuclear envoy to the U.S., plus measles cases hit a record in the U.S. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets were shut out by the Dodgers in L.A. Game one of the NBA Finals, Toronto beat Golden State.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks around the world are falling, with S&P futures hitting session lows. Haven assets are gaining. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 34 points. Dow futures down 289. NASDAQ futures down 114. DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. CAC in Paris down 1.5%. FTSE 100 down 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32. The yield 2.14%. Yield on the 2-year 1.98%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.3% on $1.33 to $55.25 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9%, up $11.40 to $13.03.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1152 against the dollar. The yen 108.75. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. All this coming with a new trade threat from President Trump, threatening to impose 5% tariffs on Mexico unless it does something about illegal immigration. Bloomberg's Juan Pablo Spinetto reports from Mexico City.
This will be taken by Mexico as an aggression. A 5% overall tariff, you know, across the board for all Mexican products, considering that Mexico sends 80% of its exports to the U.S., will be considered an aggression against the country. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have some retaliation. We will have to see, you know, also the domestic politics of the U.S.
Now, President Trump says those 5% tariffs would take effect on June 10th and gradually rise as high as 25% until immigrants from Mexico stop coming into the U.S. illegally.
Initial reaction from Mexico has been measured, with the country's president telling the White House he does not want confrontation. Mexico's deputy foreign minister also addressed the issue in remarks last night. Here he is speaking through an interpreter.
I do trust this is something which is not meant to be enacted, because it would be very grave.
The Mexican peso weakening sharply on the news. It is down 2.9% against the dollar.
Now, this tariff threat comes at the same time that the U.S., Mexico, and Canada are working to ratify a new North American trade agreement. It was already facing hurdles from Democrats in the House. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
On a visit to Ottawa, Vice President Mike Pence indicated the administration is making energetic efforts to win approval in the next few months.
The president and I are absolutely determined to work with rank and file in the Congress and the leadership to move the USMCA forward and to move it forward this summer.
But Democrats may be wary of handing the president a signature legislative victory he can boast of on his reelection campaign. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. The president's push to impose tariffs on Mexico could have wide-ranging implications, including in trade negotiations with China and Europe. Callum Pickering is senior economist at Berenberg.
What we have this morning is an example of Trump using trade threats as a way to achieve other foreign policy goals. What this means for Europe, what this means for China is, less than before, those two major players in global trade that probably think they can stand up to the US if need be, will be less likely than before to come to an agreement which they think can just end the dispute. Why would you give in now when indeed Mr. Trump could come then 6-12 months down the line and say, I don't like this issue, I'm going to reapply tariffs?
Berenberg senior economist Callum Pickering is among many this morning saying this will put more pressure on supply chains and diminish the likelihood of a breakthrough with China.
Now, the tariff threat had an immediate impact on markets, with Treasury yields tumbling overnight, the yen strengthening sharply, and volatility picked up throughout Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese shares retreated as the yen was bid on a safe haven buy, while shares in South Korea rose marginally and markets in Hong Kong and China fluctuated. Car and auto parts makers in the region, which have production facilities in Mexico, fell, with Mazda down 7% on the close in Tokyo. But it was the currency and bond markets which were most affected, the Korean won leading Asian FX lower on the escalated trade tensions. But overall, it's a month most traders would like to forget. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index on track for a loss of around 6% over the month of May. That's its biggest monthly drop since October. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliette, thank you. Stocks in Europe also getting hit hard this morning. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yeah, European equities tumbling today after the president's latest salvo in the trade war. Companies with heavy exposure to Mexico slumping, including Spanish bank BBVA down 4.4%. Car makers also hit hard today, including Fiat Chrysler down 4.6%. And brewers, including Heineken and AB InBev, also caught up in the crossfire. Europe's Stoxx 600 down 1.4%. Some buy action in the bond markets, though. German 10-year yields dropping to a record low today, minus 0.2%. 21%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Here in the U.S., auto stocks are leading declines in early trading. Shares of Ford and GM are lower by more than 3%. Tech feeling the pain as well. Shares of Apple, AMD, and Micron down more than 2%.
As President Trump opens this new front on trade, sources tell us China has completed its plan to restrict exports of rare earth to the U.S. if needed. The government has prepared all steps needed to use its dominance of these minerals to hurt the U.S. economy. It's a plan that can be implemented as soon as the government gives the go-ahead.
Meanwhile, Beijing is going to establish a list of so-called unreliable entities in order to target firms it says damage the interests of Chinese companies. The list would include foreign organizations and individuals that don't obey market rules, violate contracts, and severely damage the legitimate interests of Chinese firms.
And at the same time, retaliatory tariffs from China are set to take effect today at noon on Wall Street. That's midnight in Beijing. Those levies cover about $60 billion of U.S. goods. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street now. Time to check what else is happening in the world. The latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. North Korea reportedly executed its former top nuclear envoy to the U.S. and four other foreign ministry officials in March. It is said to have happened after President Trump abruptly walked out of a summit with Kim Jong-un. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
The envoy, who led the working-level negotiations for the February summit, was executed by a North Korean firing squad, the South Korean newspaper Joseon Ilbo reported. It cited an identified source. Previous reports in South Korean media about senior North Korean officials being executed have turned out to be untrue. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Federal health officials say cases of measles have reached its highest level in more than 25 years. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, there have been 971 known cases of measles in the U.S. so far this year. That is eight more than in 1994. A new report says flying has become deadlier than it has ever been for years. And don't blame the Boeing 737 MAX. According to the International Air Transport Association, aircraft accidents occurred more frequently in almost every region worldwide in 2018 as the death toll climbed to a four-year high of 523. German Chancellor Angela Merkel urged graduates to act with integrity and self-control as they start their new careers. Speaking at Harvard University's 368th commencement ceremony, Merkel also told graduates about the dangers of nationalism.
Tear down walls of ignorance and narrow-mindedness, for nothing has to stay as it is.
Merkel says letting go of the old is part of the new beginning. They are the elite eight in the spelling world.
L-I-C-O-W.
It's complete.
After an unprecedented 20-round competition, eight contestants were named co-champions at the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Each will get the full winner's prize of $50,000 in cash. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
G-O-O-D. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshaw.
Nathan, over the last 5 years, the Golden State Warriors have completed 19 NBA playoff series. They've won 18 of them, and until last night, only once over the 5 years had they lost a game one. But in the first NBA Finals game ever in Toronto, the Raptors led by 10 at the half, won by 9, 118-109. Even with Kawhi Leonard having a relatively quiet night with 23 points, Pascal Siakam went for 32, Marcus Gasol added 20, Steph Curry with 34 for the Warriors, who are coached by Steve Kerr.
And that's the game. That's the number one priority when you play Toronto. You have to take care of their transition, and we gave up 24 fast break points. We turned it over 17 times, so that's the game, really. The other stuff, you know, guys are going to make shots, miss shots, are going to have good games, they're going to have bad games, but it's kind of the key points that you can take care of that are the most important, and we didn't take care of that transition.
Golden State had been 5-0 without the injured Kevin Durant. This was the night where it appeared they missed Durant scoring, and he is not expected to play game two on Sunday. Mets finished up in L.A. The Dodgers have the Major League's best record, and Hyunjin Ryu has been the Major League's best pitcher. He and the bullpen team on a four-hit shutout. The Dodgers won 2-0. Jason Vargas took the loss, gave up only a run in the first inning, but the Mets dropped 3 of 4. They played tonight in Arizona. The rainout in the Bronx will be made up in August. Yankees and Red Sox tonight send out Jay Happ and Chris Sale. Tampa Bay 14-3 over Minnesota. Despite the Yanks winning 28 of the last 37, they're only half game ahead of Tampa Bay. Memorial Golf in Ohio, Ryan Moore leads Jordan Spieth by one shot. Tiger Woods trails by 5. Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal with third round matches today at the French Open. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. We'll speak with the head of global sports partnerships at Facebook, Dan Reed. You can catch that interview tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. Risk off this morning. S&P futures down 33 points. Dow futures down 280. NASDAQ futures down 107 points. 10-year treasury yield 2.15%. The 2-year 1.99%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump will slap 5% tariffs on goods from Mexico until it stops immigrants from entering the U.S. illegally. The levies will start June 10th and rise to 25% by October. In response, Mexico's president says he wants to avoid confrontation. He's sending his foreign minister and other officials to Washington to seek an agreement. On the other trade front, sources tell us China has completed its plan to restrict exports of rare earth to the U.S. if needed. It's a plan that can be implemented as soon as the government gives the go-ahead. And in earnings news, Uber sales came in near the high end of preliminary results. Its $1 billion loss was broadly in line with estimates. It didn't give second quarter forecasts, but plans to offer fewer customer promotions. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down about 35 points. Dow futures down 293. NASDAQ futures down 112. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. 10-year treasury up 18 32nds, yield 2.15%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.98%. And we're watching the German 10-year yield at negative 0.212%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.1%, or $1.22 to $55.36 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9%, or $11.30 to $13.03.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1153 against the dollar. The yen 108.72. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a South Korean newspaper is reporting that North Korea executed a senior envoy involved in nuclear negotiations with the U.S., as well as 4 other high-level officials. According to the report, it happened after the failed summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump in February. The number of U.S. measles patients has reached a record. According to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report, in the first 5 months of this year, 971 cases have been reported, exceeding the record of 963 set in 1994. In baseball, the Mets were shut out by the Dodgers 2-0.
The Yankees-Red Sox game in New York was postponed. The Giants were winners. Game one of the NBA Finals, the Raptors beat the Warriors 118-109. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by Heather Burke, Bloomberg Markets reporter and MLive blogger in our London bureau this morning. It seems there's more than one wall of worry for investors this morning when it comes to trade. Where's your focus this morning, Heather?
Coming in this morning, it's been a sea of red. You've got the prospect of tariffs on Mexico. There seems to be continued escalation with China. The latest that China will establish a list of so-called unreliable entities. May has been a month that a lot of equities traders would like to forget. Yesterday, we noted that global equities had lost $4 trillion of value this month. Today, that's only going up. U.S. futures keep going down at session lows. European stocks. Stocks had a really good rally going into May with the prospect of a U.S.-China trade agreement kind of priced in, and that keeps slipping more and more. And it seems to be going beyond tariffs. So people are heading for the hills out of equities into bonds.
Yeah. I mean, what sectors are getting hit hardest by this escalating, not just rhetoric, but, you know, the very seemingly real possibility that the U.S. could indeed impose tariffs on Mexico?
The first answer that comes to mind is autos. Top Japan car makers today trading, you know, your Toyota, your Mazda, lost a combined $9.2 billion in market cap today. And you've seen European automakers, you know, your Volkswagen, your Daimler, they're having their on set for their worst May ever. A lot of these companies have factories in Mexico. You're seeing, parts move back and forth across the U.S.-Mexico border. And also, don't forget, over in Europe, the prospect of U.S. tariffs on European auto imports still overhang. So auto investors globally are very jittery.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore the impact on the tech sector as well, right? I mean, a lot of Asian technology companies have factories where they build TVs in Mexico.
Yeah, tech has also been really hit hard this month. The Asian tech market actually held up okay today, but tech definitely, you know, we'll have to wait for the 2Q earnings season to hit to see what kind of tariff pain is priced in. But it has been a tough month for semiconductors, and tech is definitely another industry that we're watching on the blog to see how much trade pain is priced in.
Talk a little bit more about this headline that crossed a little bit ago about this so-called unreliable entities list. It seems like the reporting is that China would, add companies to this list that cut Chinese firms off from their supply list. That sounds a lot like a Huawei move.
The details are thin, so it's tough to comment, but it definitely rattled markets. It sent, bond yields further down and European and U.S. stocks down. The U.S. government has moved to curb Huawei's ability to sell equipment in the U.S. and buy parts from U.S. suppliers, which would hurt one of China's most successful companies. And the key thing to keep in mind is that step has helped broaden the tariff war into a more general confrontation between China and the U.S. So this news about the unreliable entities does seem to be another step in that broadening. As I said, details are still thin. There isn't a list yet of the foreign enterprises, organizations, and individuals yet. So, but definitely this is news to keep that markets will be keeping a focus on.
Yeah, and news that we know that you and your Markets Live team will be updating moment by moment on the MLive blog. Heather Burke, Bloomberg reporter with MLive, thank you so much. And a reminder that Bloomberg customers can get more from Heather and the rest of the Markets Live team by typing MLIV Go on the terminal. The blog is updated really quickly. It is a key source of information for a Bloomberg Terminal customers. 6:24 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, more on the Mexico tariff threat and the escalating tensions between the U.S. and China as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are sliding. Treasury yields are at a fresh 20-month low, and yields in Germany have sank to a record. Trade tensions are once again behind the move.
Yeah, this time it involves Mexico. President Trump says he'll slap tariffs on all Mexican imports until the country stops immigrants from entering the U.S. illegally. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner reports.
On Twitter, the president announced a 5% tariff on all Mexican imports effective June 10th, and he said the rate will gradually increase to 25% by October 1st if the issue persists. Overnight, shares in automakers with production in Mexico were hit. There's also the question of contagion. Mexico is one of the largest and most liquid emerging markets, and the peso is often used as a proxy or a hedge for many other LATAM positions. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thank you. And Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says the move will have a major impact on the markets.
This is probably a black swan event for markets. This seemingly came out of nowhere. And on the day that China tariffs are about to jump up, I think that markets are not fully incorporating just how negative this is, because there is still a belief out there, and I understand the arguments, that these tariffs will not be able to be implemented. They will be blocked by Congress. This is just an extremely negative scenario for assets and for equities.
And the decision has major implications for automakers with operations in Mexico. Shares of Ford, GM, and Fiat Chrysler are down about 4%.
In another trade development, Bloomberg News has learned China has completed preparations for a plan to restrict exports of rare earths to the U.S. if the trade war gets worse.
Meanwhile, Beijing will establish a list of so-called unreliable entities in order to target firms it says damage the interests of Chinese companies.
On the earnings front, shares of Uber are up almost 1%. The ride-hailing company posted first-quarter sales near the high end of its previously disclosed preliminary results. It also reported a $1 billion quarterly loss.
Right now, S&P futures are down about 34 points. Dow futures down 284. NASDAQ futures down 109. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. And the German 10-year yield is at minus 0.21%. 10-year Treasury up 17/32. The yield 2.15%. The yield on the 2-year 1.99%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.1% on $1.16 to $55.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $10.30 at $13.0270 an ounce. The euro 1.1150 against the dollar. The yen at 108.76. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's happening around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. North Korea executed its former top nuclear envoy to the U.S. and four other foreign ministry officials in March after a failed summit between Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump. That's according to South Korea's Chosun Ilbo newspaper. During a news conference while in Germany, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was asked about the report.
We've seen the reporting to which you're referring. We're doing our best to check it out. I don't have anything else to add to that.
The former top nuclear envoy was reportedly executed by firing squad following being charged with espionage. The Department of Defense marks an unusual anniversary. It has been a year without an on-camera briefing from a top spokesperson. The number of U.S. measles patients has reached the highest level in more than 25 years. Bloomberg's Mark Mills reports.
Already in 2019, there have been 971 known cases of measles in the United States, surpassing the last big outbreak in 1992 when 963 cases were reported for the entire year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says a major reason for the spread of measles is misinformation about vaccines. Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, said, "I want to reassure parents that vaccines are safe. They do not cause autism," adding, "the greater danger is the disease that vaccination prevents." Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Attorney General William Barr is speaking out after special counsel Robert Mueller discussed his findings regarding Russian interference in the presidential election and potential obstruction of justice charges. Speaking with CBS, Barr was asked if he thought Mueller could have reached a conclusion on obstruction against President Trump.
He could have reached a conclusion. The opinion says you cannot indict a president while he's in office, but he could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity, but he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained.
Oregon has grown so much legal pot that if growing were to stop today, it could take more than 6 years to smoke or eat it all. Now the state is looking to curb production by more tightly restricting the issuances of licenses. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshar.
Nathan, Mets were looking to bounce back from that nightmare finish Wednesday in L.A. when the Dodgers began the ninth inning with four straight extra base hits, scored four runs. First inning last night, Dodgers with a leadoff triple, then a double off Jason Vargas, who did not give up anything after that. But L.A. scored again in the eighth inning, won the series finale 2-0. Hyunjin Ryu is now 8-1. He gave up just four hits in May. Ryu went 5-0 with a 0.59 ERA. Mets dropped 3-4. They played tonight at Arizona. The Diamondbacks just got swept four straight at Colorado. They lost yesterday 11-10 in 10 innings. Yankees and Red Sox rained out. It'll be made up in August. NBA Finals underway in Toronto. The Raptors' first ever game in the Finals. For the Warriors, their 23rd game in the Finals in the last 5 years.
Siakam backs in near side, left wing. Kick up top to Lowry. Back to Siakam. Drives. Hook shot in the lane. Good! Banked it up and in. 96-87 Toronto. 30 for Siakam.
Raptors radio. Siakam finished with 32. Shot 14 of 17. Toronto led the entire second half in one game, one from Golden State, 118-109. Raptors the only team ever in the Finals without a single player taking the top 10 of the draft. Pascal Siakam was taken 27th. 3 years ago. Only the second time during this five-year reign that Golden State has lost a series opener. Game two is Sunday, and Kevin Durant not expected to play. This is the first time the Warriors had lost since Durant's injury. Memorial Golf in Ohio, Ryan Moore shot 65, leads Jordan Spieth by one. Tiger Woods shot a 70. Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal have third-round matches today at the French Open. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. As trade tensions flare, the CEO of UPS tells Bloomberg Radio a full-blown trade war could permanently change global supply chains. David Abney spoke to Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Business Week.
Have more customers that are exploring through the flexibility of our network supply chain changes that once they make those changes, whether we have a trade deal or not later on, those changes probably don't get reversed.
That's the CEO of UPS, David Abney, speaking with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio. You can catch more conversations like this on Bloomberg Business Week, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. It's coming up to 6:38 a.m. on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Special counsel Robert Mueller walked off the stage Wednesday, making it clear he would prefer to say no more about his investigation into 2016 election interference. Congress should expect no further revelations, he said. That stands to reason. Mueller included all his findings in his report. It also should suffice because no further information is needed to establish that Russians worked to influence the election. There were multiple systemic efforts to interfere in our election, he said again, and that allegation deserves the attention of every American. The House of Representatives recently passed legislation seeking to safeguard future elections from sabotage. So far, the Senate has done little to advance the effort, and the President has shown not even perfunctory concern. This is irresponsible. Americans should expect a bipartisan effort to protect all future elections from foreign interference. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Fossil fuels. You can punish them off the market or you can clean them up through innovation. The Trump administration says it prefers the latter course. Energy Secretary Rick Perry told a conference in Salt Lake City that the administration is committed to making fossil fuels cleaner rather than imposing what he called draconian regulations on oil, gas, and coal. The former Texas governor said the government has proven it can make traditional energy sources cleaner without surrendering one single fuel, one bit of growth, one iota of opportunity. Perry previously said the Trump administration wants to spend $500 million next year on fossil fuel research and development as demand plunges for coal and surges for natural gas. The conference was briefly interrupted when protesters took to the stage to criticize the administration's fixation on fossil fuels as a misguided approach that ignores climate change. The demonstrators were escorted out by police. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Investors who are unhappy with Mark Zuckerberg walked away from Facebook's shareholder meeting without anything to like. They presented 8 proposals, many of them intended to limit Zuckerberg's power. The CEO rejected them all. Zuckerberg has majority control of Facebook. S&P futures down 34 points. Dow futures down 289. NASDAQ futures down 108. The 10-year Treasury yield 2.15%. 2-year, 1.99%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, what does President Trump's threat of tariffs against Mexico mean for policy in Washington? We check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are plunging as Trump threatens tariffs on Mexico starting June 10th, while China threatens a sweeping blacklist of firms after the Huawei ban. Dow futures down 293 points, S&P's drop 35, and NASDAQ futures decline by 111. The U.S. 10-year yield sinks to 2.16%, and Japan fell 1.6% overnight. Well, European markets are also sinking, led by 2% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, personal income, spending, and core PCE. At 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Costco EPS and comp sales did beat estimates. Ulta revenue missed estimates, and Uber is higher by 1% pre-market after its results. In deal news, Reuters reported that Amazon is said to be interested in buying the prepaid wireless phone service from T-Mobile and Sprint. And wrapping things up, Kraft Heinz was raised neutral over at Piper, and Molina Healthcare upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump is turning up the pressure on Mexico to slow the movement of migrants trying to cross the U.S. border. In a tweet, the president says beginning June 10th, he is slapping a 5% tariff on all Mexican imports. The president says the percentage will increase until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is checking out a report from a South Korean newspaper that North Korea executed several members of its nuclear team, including its special envoy to the U.S. on spying charges. In baseball, the Mets were shut out by the Dodgers 2-0. The Yankees-Red Sox game in the Bronx was postponed. The Giants were winners. In Game 1 of the NBA Finals, the Raptors beat the Warriors 118-109. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump's threat of tariffs on Mexico unless it stops illegal border crossings, the administration moving ahead on the new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico despite Democratic objections, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez agreeing with Ted Cruz when it comes to lobbying by former members of Congress. Now let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Of course, the focus for markets this morning, Kate, is on this new tariff threat from the president to Mexico. What's behind this, tying trade to immigration now?
Well, these are two issues, trade and immigration, that resonate very strongly with Trump's Republican base. And so I think that, you know, the president clearly has his eye towards 2020 and his reelection bid already. And so perhaps taking this step at this moment might be an attempt to rally his base behind him and look like he's strong on the trade issue and the immigration issue heading into his campaign.
All right. So it might be a base rallying move, but how will this play out with the Republican Party as a whole, which, of course, traditionally has been a free trade party?
Absolutely. And so we're already seeing some pushback from key Republicans, folks like Chuck Grassley, the Iowa Republican senator, who has obviously a lot of farm interest in his state, has said that this is a misuse of Trump's power, his executive power, and this is not what tariffs are intended to be used for. So I think that we're likely to see more of that type of pushback from farm state Republicans. And I think a lot of whether or not this gambit actually proves successful may hinge on the economic fallout and whether that hits before or after the election.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it raises the question going forward of, you know, whether this could perhaps erode support among the president's base, because a lot of that base support does come from the farm belt. And if tariffs affect farmers, you know, who knows what can happen?
That's always been the conundrum for Trump when it comes to trade. And so far, we've seen him sort of take the attitude that being hardline and having hardline rhetoric on trade is going to serve him better electorally and is better policy-wise than, you know, worrying about what the economic fallout might be and how that could translate politically. And so I wouldn't expect him to change course on that, but certainly, you know, that is a risk and we could see that come back to bite him.
What are the signals behind the scenes from the White House? Is this just about politics and rhetoric, or is this something that the president really could impose on the economy?
Well, I think the fact that this wasn't just a Trump tweet, you know, the president certainly does make policy by tweet, as we're all familiar with now, but it was followed up by a White House statement. So I think that, you know, that is meant to be interpreted as being a serious policy proclamation. And that being said, though, they aren't going to impose these tariffs for 10 more days or so. And so that does beg the question of whether this is being used as kind of a big stick to try to prod Mexico into taking some action on immigration that the Trump White House can then hold up as evidence that it's been successful.
In the time we have left, we should take note of another political story we're following on the Bloomberg terminal, following a lot of Democratic presidential candidates who are going to be heading west this weekend.
Yeah, there's a big convention in San Francisco where they're going to be making their pitches to potential voters, potential 2020 voters. This is interesting for a couple reasons. One is that this is going to be the largest gathering of 2020 candidates that we've seen thus far in the campaign. About half of them will be there. And while that's not, you know, certainly that's only about half of them, you know, given that there's 23 candidates,
it's
that still means there'll be
yeah.
a lot of candidates there. Notable that Joe Biden, the clear frontrunner, isn't going to be among them. But, you know, it will be interesting to see how these folks, you know, appear side by side when they're lined up, you know, next to each other and they're talking directly to potential voters. It's also interesting because California, which obviously is the nation's most populous state, has moved up its primary. So they're voting March 3rd this year, which means that California could have a bigger say, a more decisive say in who ends up becoming the eventual nominee. So I think people will be looking very closely at how these candidates are received when they travel there.
Yeah, it is interesting you point that out, that it is a much earlier voting state. But as it's always been a key source of fundraising money, particularly for the Democratic Party, could we see this event as a potential winnowing out of some of this wide field that you talked about?
I think anytime, for sure, when you get these candidates in one place, and as I said, you know, this is the first time this is really happening, certainly it has the potential to winnow the field down. I think you raise a really good point about fundraising. One of the things we discussed earlier this week is that the DNC came out with the rules for its September debate, and we know now that candidates are going to have to raise a certain amount of money total, and that money is going to have to come from as many as 20 states in order to qualify for the September debate. And so certainly California is going to be a place where, you know, there's going to be the potential to raise a lot of money, and who can, you know, be tapping those donors and raising money effectively, I think, will be a key question. And we could see signs of that this weekend.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. One of my readers emailed to tell me to stop making excuses for millennials. I have two, he wrote, and they're entitled whiners. It's a view I hear often, especially from conservatives who are dismayed by the way millennials tend to vote. But millennials' discontent with the economy is rooted in real experiences. Their early adulthood took place during a period of low growth, punctuated by an extremely severe recession and weak recovery. Median family income, adjusted for inflation, was actually lower in 2014 than in 2000. That data started being collected in 1953, and it shows no similar period of stagnation before. The weak growth left a mark in millennials' net worth. Student debt levels have increased too, and growth has been increasingly clustered in regions with high housing prices. Millennials could very well end their working lives with a higher standard of living than their predecessors, so their economic problems should be kept in perspective. But that's not the same as dismissing them. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Small business owners are concerned about the infrastructure in their areas. A recent survey by the Chamber of Commerce finds when it comes to transportation infrastructure, the poor quality of roads close to home was most troubling to owners. 69% said local roads needed the most improvement. Owners were more concerned about the quality of internet service than their cell phone connections. 57% saying improving high-speed internet access is a priority. Looking at the results according to industry, owners of service businesses were most concerned about good communication infrastructure. 85% saying high-speed internet is most important to them. And 78% cited cell phone coverage as most important. Local transportation was most important to the retailers, manufacturers, and companies that supply resources. It was cited by more than 80% of owners in each of the industries. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. We are watching the German 10-year yield today. It is at minus 0.21% right now. The 10-year Treasury is up 15/32nds. Its yield, 2.15%, and the yield on the 2-year, 1.99%, and the euro at 1.1149 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Straight ahead for Nathan Hager. I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.